11 o'clock hour of Blumen Tausch
begins now.
And it begins not with Jesse's brother-in-law struggling or avoiding coming home on his tour. You can check out that part of the conversation from the 9 o'clock hour. If you go back on YouTube or check out our podcasts. But with Jesse humming or singing the CBS NCAA tournament music. And leading to this question, Jesse, which is what?
Power rankings of the top sports theme songs of all time. I feel I am uniquely qualified to discuss this because many people don't know that in addition to studying sports communication at Bradley University, the Harvard of the Midwest, I also was a double major in music where I was part of the wind ensemble and the orchestra at Bradley University. I know a thing or two about a good tune, Jason.
Okay, well, what are our choices?
Skeptical already, I see. All right, here is my official list of the top five power rankings sports theme songs of all time. Number five, a relatively new one entered into the mix. Bum, bum, ba-da-dum, bum, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-dum. Sunday Night Football on NBC comes in at number five. It's not the same as this music we're playing in the background, but that is number five because right now when you hear that orchestra, the John Williams composed music, you know that it's a big game and you've been waiting all day for Sunday night. There's something a little extra. And whether it was Al Michaels or now Mike Tirico, the best announcers calling the game, it's the biggest game of the weekend. It adds to the energy, the juice, and it feels big when you hear that orchestra strike it up on NBC on a Sunday night. NBC Sunday Night Football, number five in my rankings. You're already poo-pooing it. I can see this already.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I don't think it deserves to be in the top five. I want to hear your top four first before I kick it out, though.
Number four, same network, or is it? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the one you started singing just before the commercial break. The former NBA on NBC round ball rock song from John Tesh, which is now used for Fox College Basketball. That's going to be interesting because NBC's getting the NBA back next year.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? I don't know how that's going to work, but the NBA on NBC, when you think of Michael Jordan and some of those matchups of the 90s, Bob Costas bringing you into Madison Square Garden with that music playing on a sunny Sunday afternoon or in prime time for the finals, that brings a ton of memories and feeling and emotion, which is what these songs are all about. Number
yeah,
four.
Yeah, feels underseeded.
Number three, Fox NFL Sunday. Maybe it's because we're fans of the Green Bay Packers. Well, some of us are fans of the Green Bay Packers. Playing that noon slot on a Sunday when I was a kid, you get home from church just in time to see the announcers do the cold open at Lambeau Field on a sunny Sunday. Or it's the 325 Joe Buck, Troy Aikman bringing you in, formerly in the big America's Game of the Week window. Now it's big game Burkhart and Brady, of course. Fox NFL Sunday. It's so good, they actually tried using it for the World Series and their other sports coverage for a round of their window of time there. They tried like NASCAR races on Fox. We're using the NFL on Fox theme song because it was so good. That's just what they wanted to brand everything as. Number three, the NFL on Fox. Number two, dun 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 dun, bottom, bottom. Monday Night Football, ABC, ESPN. The Monday Night Football theme song. There is nothing like the Monday Night Football song when you're
for something that you ranked ahead of it.
Because it's not like the Monday Night Football song, because Monday Night Football is weekly during the football season, feels special. The entire concept of Monday Night Football is designed to make a game feel extra special by being played on a different day than all the others. Monday Night Football, number two on my list, iconic. Only to be surpassed by number one, the one that I was humming all last night, the one that you're going to be singing all weekend long when you're watching on True TV, among other networks. The NCAA CBS Turner Sports theme song. They even redid it 10 years ago just to tweak it a little bit, and it's still great, still iconic. And you know what they do so well? I figured this out. When they go to commercial break a bunch, when you watch all the games in the next couple of days, unless you're Zach Showalter because you're working, when you're watching all the games the next couple of days, They go to commercial so much in the final 2 minutes. There's like a 15-second commercial every time out in the final 2 minutes. And when there's intensity and when there's excitement about a tie game and a buzzer-beater potential and an upset brewing, and you hear that music, it adds to the emotion that you're already feeling from watching the games. They do such a great job with that song. It captures the vibe perfectly of March Madness. NCAA college basketball on CBS and Turner Sports, number one in my sports theme song power rankings. Jason?
All right. I'm going to spoiler alert. You got the last two flipped. You should have had Monday Night Football number one and the NCAA tournament number two. That would be my argument. But I'm with you that they both are in the top two. So count me in. Third, I have Round Ball Rock by John Tesh. That is my number three ranked music for sports coverage. Now, here's where we get a little bit of the difference in age. Because my other two, one, you still hear all the time. I'm also curious, before I give mine, because this is also what I would like to include, where does One Shining Moment fit?
Oh, see, that's not a theme song. One Shining Moment.
So it's not, it is not eligible, because yeah. I know it is a very divisive musical, a piece of music.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people that hate it, which I don't understand. I personally love it. So you're telling me I can't include it?
Were you ever,
it
is done. When you were a kid and you had like gym class, did you have like a, I remember in middle school we had like a little ropes course that they always had. It was like up in the rafters, but it would come down for like 1 week when you had like the ropes swinging unit. That's what.
No,
that's
is the answer.
That's what one
Neither
shining. Okay, well, that's what One Shining Moment is to me. It's always up in the rafters, and then it comes down for the night of the championship. But then it goes right back up, and it's done after a week. One Shining Moment is not a recurring theme. The college basketball theme song, you hear that in November all the way through, of course, April, with the conclusion of the NCAA tournament. So that's the difference between a theme song. Okay. And a special song, I guess.
All right, well, I'm going to show my age then, because in the fourth position is the Olympic theme song. That would be number four for me. And then number five, another old school one, which you two knuckleheads have no idea about. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, ABC's Wide World of Sports, which I am not going to butcher because of its iconic nature by trying to sing it here. I wish we could play that. Are there actual rules against that? I know where, you know, we can't do the guy that does boxing announcing. He's very litigious.
Yeah. No idea what you're talking about. Yep.
The Buffer Boys.
I don't know idea. Let's not go any further
I
there.
I don't even want to say his name. I wasn't even going to say his name, just to be safe.
Not with that.
And we don't say March Madness in conjunction with any sort of partner.
Correct. Yep.
Super Bowl, another thing we could talk about.
You can say it all you want.
We're not tying
not
it into
sponsored by anybody.
Right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
So I don't. So are we not a lot like we play music all the time coming in? Like, could we play the Wide World of Sports theme without being in some sort of trouble?
I mean, depending on how much you want to know about this, like, the radio has rules with the FCC, but YouTube has its own different set of rules. So there are things we can do legally as a radio station that YouTube doesn't understand we are allowed to do as a radio station. Mm. And then it would bump, it would say, no, get out of here. Get that out of here. Like, what I...
Nice. There it is. Just keep talking over it. No one will hear it.
What I should have done today, I should have brought my piano into the studio. And I could have played all of these for everyone, and that would have gotten around all the rules, because they wouldn't have known that me playing the piano was the same as the copyrighted versions of Round Ball Rock, among other things. I should have done that today, showcased my skills a little better. My mistake.
So, those are my five. I would also, as pointed out by Tom Oates on the private talk and text line, which I love it whenever I find out that Oates is listening.
I am very distracted by this thing playing behind us right now.
I'm not. It's great. I can push right through it. This is another old school one. I used to love This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen. And the theme that would play at the end of This Week in Baseball, Oatsy informs me it's called Gathering Crowds. That is a classic, too.
Again, this sounds like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Don't be disrespecting Wide World
Sports.
That's what it's,
I want Bunny and Daffy Duck trotting out is what that sounded like.
Okay, I think that's our cue to play trivia.
Welcome to the Wide World of Sports.
You are such a...
I think both of you guys snubbed the MLB on Fox and college football on CBS. Those are fantastic themes.
All right, well, give us a few bars of each of those, Riley. Let's hear it.
Adam in Oregon will probably be disappointed if you've seen the Carbless Talk and text line, but MLB on Fox, the
Not bad.
It's a good one.
Well, this was a great topic, but we're out of time.
Oh.
And the idea of the us three idiots
CBS.
Singing them.
Yes, we'll leave it there.
Feels like it belongs in front of Alabama and not Purdue, though.
I can't believe the three of us, we three idiots, singing theme songs that don't have words, by the way. So we're singing the sounds of it. All right. Let's play some trivia. The category, Great Moments in Badgers NCAA History. You may have gotten a hint or two, either because of the guest we have coming up or the guest we just had, or maybe not. Caller number 16, as the Badgers aim for the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2017, I believe.
Zach Showalter.
The Sweet 16, caller 16, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 16 plays trivia, and they will play it after Tausch tells us about Kohler Services. It's Wilde and Tausch. Time for trivia. Keep your sports themes coming. Jesse, I got bad news for you. Since Tausch isn't here, and never in the history of trivia have I taken trivia off, I'm going to play along.
Wow. You're just trying to watch basketball, aren't you?
No, I don't have a TV. I mean, I do have a TV in here, but it's not on.
Underway.
Wishing nothing but the best for Chucky and Louisville.
Had a good year.
I did pick them to win. No, let's welcome in our contestant first. It is Joe in Wauwatosa. Joe, good morning. How you doing today?
Good morning. Good morning. Great. Thanks.
Joe, you working today?
It's giant.
No, I'm actually babysitting my son's dog.
That works out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one way to go. Great. I like it.
What's he doing?
Yeah. We're just getting done from the dog park.
Nice. Get him nice and tired so you get home. Dog takes a nap. You get to kick back, watch the Badger game. That's a smart play by Joe and Tosa.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
All right. Well, it is time for trivia, and I am going to enjoy playing along with Wisconsin. What's the title again, Jesse?
Great Moments in Wisconsin NCAA Tournament History.
All right, Jesse,
that's
take it away.
Category. I'll channel my inner Drew Carey, who is in the conversation on the game show host Mount Rushmore. Question number one for you, Joe. Bronson Koenig sent Bill Murray home sad as a fan of which team? Koenig helped the Badgers defeat with a buzzer beater in the second round of the 2016 NCAA Tournament. Was it Cincinnati, Xavier, or Groundhog State?
It was Cincinnati.
I got bad news for you, Joe. It was not Cincinnati.
Oh,
yeah, it was Xavier. It was Xavier.
Ah, shoot.
Yeah.
I was trying to shake my head, trying to help, but it didn't help.
Xavier. Was that too hard of a first question? I did think to myself as I wrote it this morning.
They're both based in the city of Cincinnati, which is kind of questionable behavior by you, but no, I mean, that's a pretty memorable moment.
All right, Joe.
Sorry, Joe.
We're going to bounce back here. I feel good about question number two.
No, we're not.
Wisconsin defeated several college basketball blue bloods en route to appearing in the national championship in 2015. Kentucky, they defeated in the Final Four. Arizona, they defeated in the Elite Eight. Which other team did the Badgers beat in the Sweet 16? Was that Kansas, North Carolina, or UCLA?
I think it was Kansas.
Oh, boy.
Told you.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. You know, and the tough part is I had Villanova listed on that first line, and then I thought, no, they did beat Villanova that year, or the following year, I think it was. So that might be too tough. So I swapped it in for Kansas.
Uh-huh.
And then he guessed Kansas. Jason, did you know it?
I did, but this is hard. Look, tournaments.
North Carolina.
Tournaments tend to, unless they're signature moments or you're remembering these, they just dissipate into the ether. It's hard to remember this stuff. So, sorry, Joe, you're 0 for 2. This has never happened
right,
to me when I've been playing.
Last one.
Question 3. No, you won't.
Joe, this is the hardest of the three questions.
It's got a 33% chance.
Oh, great.
Which of these? Yeah, now I just feel bad about this one because I thought the first two would be like easier and then this one would be harder.
Could not have picked a better one not to participate
Joe. This is tough, but that's okay. No one's listening because they're all watching the games anyway. Which of these was not one of the cities 8-seed Wisconsin played NCAA tournament games in during their run to the Final Four in Indianapolis in 2000?
This is
with Mike Kelly on the squad.
Okay. Sure.
Salt Lake City, Utah, Albuquerque, New Mexico, or Denver, Colorado? I'm sorry, Joe.
I'm going to go with Salt Lake City.
Well, it's a clean sweep. There you go, Joe. All right. You want to try and... we call it a tauschit when you get the question wrong a second time. Would you like to guess of Albuquerque or Denver and try and tauschit?
Albuquerque.
Yeah!
He did it.
He did it. He got it wrong four times, and he was only asked three questions. That is impressive.
Joe, confidence is very sexy. Don't you think?
Yeah. Joe, we appreciate your loyalty to the show. I apologize on behalf of Jesse. Because Jesse's got to leave because he's going to leave the show early on his big break of being a co-host.
Yeah, I'll take the rest of the day off.
Yeah, you and Showalter. Joe, you still got one entry into tomorrow's drawing. Thanks for playing. We appreciate you.
Excellent.
Enjoy
thanks.
The games.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Jesse's going to leave. Riley and I are going to get ready for our friend Mike Kelly. And Tausch is going to tell you about Coors Light. More straight ahead. Stick around. Mike Kelly will join us shortly. Before that, a very abbreviated Will Riley.
Exactly. We're not even playing the bump today. I'm just
God,
gonna...
you're selfless. What? Has Jesse taught you nothing?
I guess not. I'm also, see, I like to consider myself from the producing school of Jesse Nelson and Ryan Wollersheim. Ryan Wollersheim, much more humble.
Very unselfish.
Exactly.
Yes, I would agree.
Exactly. So my one question, we talked about the state wrestling tournament earlier. Ben Keenbaum, once again, sorry for forgetting. Shout out Scott. Ben Keenbaum, one of the toughest wrestlers at the state tournament, suffered the black eye. What a beast. But I don't know. You said you tuned in, Jason. I don't know if you happened to listen to my one hit I had at the end of the broadcast while my father, who's the head coach of the Milton Redhawks, hoisted the first ever girls team state trophy with his Red Hawk girls wrestlers. And
no, this was not what I caught.
Okay, so you didn't catch this. So I will admit I was totally biased because my dad's the head coach. One of my older brothers is an assistant. My brother's on the team. I was super biased, and I didn't hide it whatsoever. I want to know, journalist to journalist, both graduates from the Journalism School of Mass Communication here at Madison, where's the line? As a journalist, where do you draw it when you're talking about family members? Where everyone knows I wanted Milton to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a secret. How do I present that in a way while still maintaining journalistic integrity?
Yeah, you can't. You just have to be honest. That's okay. The integrity. And you have every right to root for your dad and your brothers. Nothing wrong with that. Hey. If I go back to covering some high school sports and Sydney or Maddie are competing in some sort of WIAA-sanctioned event, my true colors will show. Mm-hmm. I'm a dad before anything. And so that's great that you were able to be there, though.
Yes.
Like, let's not lose sight of the fact, journalistically or not, how cool was it that you were there working the event? That's awesome.
It was so cool. I got to be down on the floor. I was able to talk to both my dad and my older brother before the matches took place. We're all stressing. Milton was ahead on the team score by half a point. And Freedom, who was in second, controlled their own destiny. They had two wrestlers. We only had one. So it was stressful. It was intense. But then I was able to interview the girls' state champ from Milton, Maddie Peach, who's a phenomenal wrestler. She's going to be a three-time state champ next year. It was one of the coolest family experiences I've ever had.
That's that. You did right. You're fine.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That is Woe Riley. I'm glad I could be reassuring that you did the right thing. Speaking of doing the right thing, nobody embodies Coach Bennett's five pillars better than this guy. Our friend Mike Kelly from the 2000 Final Four team joins us next to take us home on a Badgers basketball game day. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tepsch. Joining us now as the Badgers get ready for their first round NCAA tournament game against Montana is a guy that has experienced it all. The highs, the lows, the needing his team to make a three-pointer late just to get the 32 points at a tournament loss, and reaching the Final Four. It is our friend, the great Mike Kelly. It's not even Wilde and Tausch. It's Wilde and Riley's here, too. Mike, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. What's happening?
Well, I appreciate you taking time. I know you've been very popular lately, being honored with the 25th anniversary of the Final Four team and then doing the Inside Wisconsin podcast with Trevor and John Anderson. So thanks for making time. I do have a question before I start, though, and that is this. How do we get Dick Bennett into the Basketball Hall of Fame? Can you and I get to work on that?
If there is a way, if there's a petition, I don't know how that process goes, but it's a shame he's not in it. I'd like to think he's got to be on the short list of people considered, but I don't even know what it takes to get involved. He certainly belongs. I mean, what he's done for basketball at all the different levels and just spreading kind of the word and being a mentor to so many players who are now coaches, to fellow coaches, to his son, winning the national championship, and then obviously his own accomplishments. To me, it's a no-brainer. There's got to be a groundswell, but I'm on board. Whatever I can do, you let me know.
All right, you and I will take that on as our new task. Since, you know, you're an empty nester now, everybody's off to college. Like, you got all kinds of time,
Yes. Don't
you? I just thought of that.
Yeah, I guess.
When I heard Coach Bennett surprise you on the Inside Wisconsin podcast. All right, Mike, take us through what the feelings are right now for the Badgers as they're getting ready for their opening round game against Montana in Denver instead of against whomever in Milwaukee tomorrow, which is what we were all hoping for.
Yeah, right. I mean, the Milwaukee, that was really a kick in the stomach there. not getting in Milwaukee. I don't know. I mean, I guess the closest I could say maybe we experienced is we had the five. I think it was a 5-12 when we got upset by Southwest Missouri State.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all were, and that year, were victim to name brand, you know, not recognizing the team, not knowing them, feeling like we were the power conference and the better seed, the better team. So you do try to fight that. I know Coach was conscious of fighting that in the preparation for that game. But sometimes, you know, human nature is what it is. You can't help but sort of believe the hype and believe, you know, the point spread, I think, is like 16.5. And now in our betting culture, everybody's aware of it. So that would be my concern as a player. We were, you know, the year we went to the Final Four, we had the advantage of coming off such a letdown that we couldn't take anybody for granted. And, of course, we were an 8-9 game, so there was no feeling of, oh, this is going to be a guaranteed win either. So that's your concern, I think, when I think about the team. I'd like to think this group is better than that. They are a senior group, and I think that helps. I also think the style that they play helps. Getting up and down, maximizing possessions in a game, you know, we slowed it down because the more possessions, the more chance it probably was in the opponent's favor if they were more talented. But this team is generally more talented than their opponent, and I think they will try to get up and down. I think they've got the size advantage. So hopefully they're feeling good about that, and they'll come out firing, just shooting better than they did against Michigan.
I know Coach Bennett would say this, and I would echo this. You could play in anybody's system on any team, and you're too humble to say this. But I am curious, what is it like for you to watch a Wisconsin team play this style of play? Because whether it was Coach Bennett or even, let's be honest, the swing offense with Coach Bo Ryan, nothing compares to what we're seeing with this team offensively. Seeing 90 points next to Wisconsin, yeah, on the bottom of a ticker or on the bottom of the score, that is jarring to me.
Yeah, it's so fun. I think everybody, you know, I've always been a defender of Coach Bennett and Coach Ryan and now Coach Gard, and we've always won, and that's what I've always just said. Like, you know, you've got to find a way. It's a competition. You're trying to maximize your ability to win, and we always did that, and it generally wasn't running up and down, although I do think that was overblown. The pace of play between us and, a North Carolina was only like five more possessions a game. So I defended that for years, for, you know, 25 years now. And it's nice to not have to defend our style of play. It's amazing the amount of people that come up to me and say, oh, I love their offense. And that's fun. I mean, that hasn't been the case. But it is a beautiful offense. The continuity ball screen is a fun offense. And what I really appreciate is they've leaned into it. They pretty much run it the entire game. I mean, they've got a few wrinkles out of it. They've got a few sets they like to go to. But other than that, you know what you're going to get. It's one of the easiest scouts in terms of knowing what they're going to do as an opponent, but the hardest scout in the sense that it's hard to guard. They stretch you out. They've got bigs that can shoot. And the ball swings side to side. I mean, they chart their efficiency after one ball reversal, two, or even three. And the more they get, the higher their efficiency goes up. And that's what you see when you watch them play.
Has this offense, I know you're not in your analyst that you were in for so long, which, by the way, I think it's great that you got to then spend more time with your kids and coach them and everything else. But those of us that watched basketball, we were smarter because you were calling games. So I do miss that. Is that an offense that is proliferating? Like, I feel like, from a high school or a developmental level, you know, we ran the five out and then we ran this and that. Like, is that the new shiny new offensive toy that we're seeing across college basketball, or just at Wisconsin?
It's you know, there's a few teams that run it, but nobody runs it to the commitment level that Wisconsin does, I would say. I think they've got a deep enough team to do it. They trust their guys. I give Coach Gard, I think the biggest story is that Kirk brought this in. Kirk played in the system, coached the system. But you've got to have a head coach who's won multiple Coach of the Year, who's willing to adopt it and go all in. I mean, they didn't dip their toe. They are fully committed. So you'll see some continuity ball screen, but no one runs it the entire game like Wisconsin does. They will get some sets out of it. And you don't – it's hard. You have to be very skilled. I don't think we'll see it at the high school level yet a ton because you need three really good guards that can come off ball screens, which is a skill that not many have. And then you need some bigs to stretch the court. If your bigs can't shoot, then you just go and drop coverage and you can protect against drives and – you're kind of stymied. So we have the perfect kind of roster setup to maximize it.
Talking with Mike Kelly on Wilde and Tausch as the Badgers get ready for Montana in their first round NCAA tournament game in Denver. That coming up at 12:30. Mike, I'm also curious about, you know, you obviously your calling card was defense. And I didn't know that was genetic, but I remember Shea also being Defensive Player of the Year in her conference. Was that last year? Was last year her last year?
That was last year, yep.
Is she playing in college now?
She is not. No, she had she actually had some opportunities to play at Milwaukee and Green Bay offered her scholarships. There was probably, she had about a dozen D1 offers. The one she really wanted was Wisconsin, and they wouldn't commit to a scholarship. They did invite her to be a walk-on, but the circumstances surrounding it were such that it didn't seem like the right fit. So she decided to just go to school at Wisconsin and not play basketball. So she's there. I've had a couple people text me with all the departures on their team. She might be the best guard left on campus at the moment. So we'll see where that leads. But yeah, she only wanted to be a Badger, and so that's where she is.
I felt that way too, except I had no basketball skills, so there wasn't any decision to make on that when I went there. I am curious, though, and by the way, I am pushing for my friend Brad Fisher to get that job, and if he does, I certainly hope he then reaches out to Shea Kelly after that. Hey, but I'm curious, because of the defensive bloodlines that you have, how would you defend John Tonjay, and how well could you do against him?
Oh, boy. I don't think I would do very well. I watch these guys. They're so skilled. The players have gotten bigger, faster, stronger, and then more specialized at a younger age. So it is really hard to defend these days. Although, I will say, the only thing I will argue about is we got a bad rap back in the day that we were physical. And I think today's game is more physical than it was 25 years ago. I watched the hand-checking on the perimeter, and notice it today. I mean, the book is out on Wisconsin. I think one of the only ways you can try and slow them down is by getting up into them. So that's what teams are doing. And it's bumps. It's just much more physical than it was ever allowed. But that said, I mean, Tonjay, I think the trouble is he can put it on the deck, and he will put himself in situations that most guys won't get that deep. They will not commit to a drive. But he goes into, he's like a, you know, a mouse that can get through just the smallest crack in a wall, and he finds his way to the rim. And if he doesn't make it, he's going to get fouled. And that's the trouble with him. And you can't leave him open because he shoots it too well. You can't go under ball screens, so you got to chase over the top. He's one of those guys, you're hoping he has a bad day. And I had a lot of those matchups in college where I thought, okay, I'm going to do my best. And then we just have to hope this guy's off a little bit. And then people will say it's good defense, but it was really, they just missed a lot of shots.
You're obnoxiously humble. You had a lot to do with those bad days for those guys. All right, two more things, because I know you're headed somewhere to watch the game. Unlike Showalter, who, as we learned in the 10 o'clock hour, is working today, and Jesse couldn't believe it.
What?
So, yeah, I know. And, like, you run a company, and you found your way out of the office for a little while. So it must be nice to be the boss. All right, two things. One, based on your Final Four experience, because obviously we would love nothing more than Gardo's team to get there, and I know you got to take it one game at a time, and you can't get ahead of yourselves and all that, but is there something you learned from that team that was celebrated a couple weeks ago getting to the Final Four? Is there a through line to getting there? Is there something that all you have to do through all four of those games to get to the Final Four that you remember you guys doing?
You know, I would say so. I think there's a confidence that comes with each round. It kind of starts to stack one on the next. And I'm guessing for this Wisconsin team, coming off of last year's tournament experience, Getting today's win, and in particular, I think shooting well, to me, would be the one thing. You know, we had John Bryant, who was a great shooter, but he went to another level in our tournament run. He was a West Region MLP. I think if Wisconsin's going to make that run, they've got to shoot well from the outside. I guess that sounds maybe too simple, but it's for the confidence factor alone. You need Klesmit coming off screens and hitting instead of, you know, he's been 30%, a little bit of a slump. If he starts hitting at 40% clip, he's the most confident guy I've seen on the floor. He talks trash to everybody. Same with Blackwell. Tanjay's been confident. So if they're knocking down their shots, I think it loosens, it lightens the load for everybody, and that carries through. And once you get past today, and especially this weekend, if they can do it, then you're on house money. I mean, then you're going up likely against Alabama, and you can talk that trash, you can hit those shots, and it tightens up for the other guys. Today's the game that unfortunately tightens up for the favorite, and that's what you need to avoid.
All right, we're already over time, but I don't care because this is the last. We're going to finish where we started. I didn't play for Coach Bennett, but you know he's become a mentor and a friend to me and so many others who did play for him. He's a much bigger influence on them. But I talk all the time with the girls about humility and passion and unity and servanthood and thankfulness. How much of who you are, because you're one of the all-time great dudes, and I know your parents were great, and you're a great guy on your own right, but how much of you is based on playing for Dick Bennett?
It's hard to quantify, Jason. I'm glad you brought it up, because Coach Bennett, we've all been so blessed by, and every moment we get with him is a gift. And I've said it before, I knew those five pillars were important to being a good person. My parents raised me that way, and Coach Bennett coached me that way. But what I didn't realize was how much they mattered in making me a better basketball player. And I've only understood that more and more as I've gotten older, as I've coached, as I've seen the kids that embody those things and how they find a way to succeed on the court. It makes all the difference. There's a lot of talented people out there, but the ones that can battle through failure, can be thankful, can stay humble, and can stay united in all those moments, those are the ones that are the champions. And I take that with me to this day. I run my company that way, people that way. I try to, at least. And I hope everybody does.
All right. Enjoy the game today. I love it when I have an excuse to talk to you, buddy. Have a great day.
Awesome. Thanks for reaching out. Talk to you.
That is the great Mike Kelly. We are way over time. We got to go. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.